song now. It's a song we all wrote. And so coincidentally, I shampooed my grandma's remains into my scalp. It's called Grandma Shampoo.
And this is the Midwest Punks podcast with Brian and Carl. And
welcome back, Carl.
Yeah, I know. Good to be in here. And we've been trying to kind of get more consistent on our episodes. But as everybody knows, there's a pandemic going on, and that kind of messes things up sometimes. Yeah. So
Carl had a thing, a baby. Those are
time-consuming. Yeah, I didn't have a baby. Yeah, my wife had a baby, so that kind of took a week out there where I was trying to not do anything, but take care of the wife and the baby and the son at home, and now just trying to get back to normal a little bit. So hopefully with that and the pandemic virus doesn't really flare up too bad and keep us out of the studio. So, Brian, good to be back.
And, it is. It's great.
And we got a cool show today. We are going to have a guest, our second guest. We're just trying to branch out and do more things. So we have a cool guest today, and make sure you follow us on Facebook
at Midwest Punks Podcast.
Yep, and you can shoot us some message through there. You can send us an email. All of our info is on there. Old shows, links to listen to the shows from anywhere. So make sure you do that. And Brent, you kind of have a little bit more of a tie-in with this guest and what we're doing, but
It's this. Do you want to just get him on the line here? We can start talking about.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah.
So, Dave.
Yes. All hello. Right.
Yeah, we have Dave
Is it Hoffer? Is that
Hoffer? Yeah, it is Hoffer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Dave, you've started a project that is pretty cool, and it's you know, obviously a link to some punk music in there, so we'll get into that. But before we dive into that project, let's learn a little bit about you, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure.
Tell us, where are you from, and what are you doing these days?
Well, those two things are incredibly far apart from one another, but I grew up in Wheaton, Illinois, which is just a direct west suburb of Chicago. So now I live in Chicago, lived in this area my whole life. A big chunk of time for the last 15 years, I worked for this store called Reckless Records, which you probably heard of.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then left there almost 2 years ago, and now I'm a graduate student for Library and Information Science, and I'm working at the Chicago History Museum currently.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, we're a public media station, so we're all about history and museums and
yeah.
all that kind of stuff.
So. Yeah, I also did an internship at WTTW and WFMT, so.
Okay, yeah.
A little so public.
Fellow public media.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So your project that we're talking about is just kind of titled DuPage County Hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And so what...
This is a... Kind of give everybody that's listening a gist of kind of what it is. So it's a Bandcamp page that's set up, and it's listing all of these bands that are mostly from the Chicagoland area. I think you started, what was it, DuPage bands mostly, and then kind of branched
that
out?
Yeah, that's why it's named what it is because it started with just my old bands and my friends from like the Wheaton, Glen Ellen, Lombard, you know, the DuPage County area. So.
Yeah, I counted, and I'm pretty sure I was accurate. There's about 490 albums and playlists on that Bandcamp
page.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. Wow. Not quite 500 yet.
Yeah,
somewhere you're close.
Yeah. yeah. And so you've been working on this project for a few years. Do you want to get into how you kind of started? What got you started on putting this together?
Yeah, sure. It's a pretty organic origin story. I believe it was 2013, which is crazy that was almost 8 years
ago.
But I previously, like in the early aughts, worked for this magazine called Punk Planet, which maybe you'd heard of, and then also did a fair amount of freelance writing. So when I would conduct interviews then, I mean, now we're talking like 20 years ago, so I just had all of them on regular cassette tapes. And then, you know, flash forward from 2002 to, you know, 2013, I'm just kind of looking at these tapes like these things are taking up space and the odds of me ever listening to them again are very low, but I feel bad just getting rid of these things.
Risking putting them into a cassette player and having them unwind and...
And just, you know, why would I listen to myself interview somebody again from 10 years ago when I sound like a complete doofus, I'm sure, you know? You know, I don't know. I didn't want to just get rid of them, so I thought, well, maybe I should just digitize these things. So a friend of mine who is an audio engineer... just gave me, I had, you know, the basic knowledge of, you know, I've had a stereo my whole life, so I, you know, get it, and I get computers, but just kind of, you know, the best way to make the two kind of talk to each other. I wasn't really sure, so he gave me the basic know-how, and then I just ended up, sorry, you might hear a cat meowing in the background here, but, so I just took this big batch of tapes and started just digitizing them and then getting rid of the tapes, so just to free up some space. And then as I was going through the tapes, I was, you know, coming across these old demos and stuff that I'd kept throughout the years and was kind of like, oh, I should just do the same thing for these. And then if any of my, you know, former bandmates probably got rid of their tapes over the years, I could just say, hey, Todd, you know, we're on Facebook together. Hey, if you got rid of, you know, this old demo that we played on together, I uploaded this. You can just download it. That was kind of the idea, you know. And then the more I looked, you know, I wouldn't say I'm like a collector or like a hoarder by any stretch, but like my friend's stuff I tended to keep over the years. So Yeah, I just started going through those, and then Bandcamp just seemed, you know, I thought initially maybe YouTube, I would just put these things up there, and then the Bandcamp model is so great, so I just went with that, because you can download it and everything, too, so, yeah, and that was kind of the impetus, and hence the name, DuPage County Hardcore, and then it just kind of spiraled out of control after that.
Yeah, we should mention that, you know, if anybody wants to check this out, and we'll have a link on the Facebook page and everything too, but just go to DuPageCountyHardcore.bandcamp.com, I think is what the link will be to that. And you can check this out. And like you said, it's a perfect format for something like this. I mean, you can just scroll down through all these. Brian and I were, you know, I think there's been like three times we kind of get together in the office and just start scrolling through this and talking about some of these bands.
Awesome.
You know, and so are you still working on this, or you still have any plans to work on it a little bit more, do anything more with it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just added two things yesterday or the day before from this band called Biscayne, who are really cool, I guess, pop-punk band, for lack of a better term. They're just, like, really kind of powerful power pop, but they also kind of have, like, a speed metal element. They're really good. And I put up their demo and their full length, which was on, I think, Quincy Shanks Records. So, I mean, I'm in school now and working full time, so it has slowed down slightly, but I do have, I have a backlog of things that I want to put up that are just sitting here. And then I also tend to keep a couple things in the on deck circle. So, I try to post like a thing a week, basically.
So I have to ask, since kind of on the subject still, you said that your band, you had a bunch of demos from too. Any of these bands yours?
Oh, yeah. Several of them are.
Okay.
Well, not several in 400 and whatever, a few.
Sure.
Some of them are. I mean, do you want to get into that, or
if you want to talk about a couple of bands that you were in, or
sure. I mean, the one that I'm probably most proud of that's up there is from this band called Authority Abuse. We put out a 7-inch on Lingua Armada, actually, which is Martin from Los Crudos' label. So that kind of blew my mind. I had nothing to do with that. That was all our singer and bassist that put that together. I actually joined that band. They had kind of like a lineup overhaul where they're drummer and guitar player left, and then they were replaced with me on drums and then two other guitar players, and that's the lineup that plays on that 7-inch. We actually recorded that with this friend of ours, Jeremy Lemos, who now has gone on to do like front of house sound for Sonic Youth and like Run the Jewels and all these like big name bands. But you know, he was just like a cool guy that doing his studio thing back again, like in the early aughts, like 99 or 2000 or something. Yeah, and I thought that record just came out really good, just 6 songs, 45 RPM, you know, real raw and fast. And then, let's see, I don't know what else is up there. There's a band called Synecrosis, which is like a medical term for when, like, a group of... I don't know, like an entire species or like a flock of birds or something, like a big group of animals or people like all suffer like a similar depression.
Okay.
But and that was another band that I just joined at some point because drummers seem to be kind of, not like a dime a dozen or anything. And I was somewhat competent, so that helped. Yeah, and that's more like, you know, those guys were all, like, way into, like, Marauder and Crowbar and, you know, death metal and whatever. So that was more of, like, a super heavy kind of hardcore metal band.
Sure.
So there's a discography CD up there that has their demo that I didn't play on, and then, like, a CD EP that I was on and some live stuff and whatever. So, yeah, those are two. There's a few other ones, but I think we've covered enough of that for now.
And so are you still playing with anybody or just...
No, not currently. My drums, unfortunately, are just kind of like sitting in our storage space. It's nothing like weird or like dramatic. You know, I just went back to school and don't really have the time to do that. The most recent thing I did was to give a cheap plug to my friend's band as I filled in a little bit for this band called The Eradicator.
Okay.
Which is like this very high concept punk band based off of a Kids in the Hall sketch.
Nice. I'm a fan of the Kids in the Hall, so.
Yeah, like so if you remember the Eradicator sketch with the squash playing kind of, outlaw, I guess. Uh-huh. Then maybe you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know
about,
what you're talking about.
He's released two albums, and they're both really good. Again, just like very kind of like powerful pop punk, you know. And it was fun, you know, he sort of has like a rotating lineup of people. And so maybe a year and a half ago, I played some shows with them. It was fun.
Nice.
It was really good.
Cool.
The Eradicator, everybody.
Yeah, we'll make sure and check them out and share some stuff on the page too.
Yeah, definitely.
So before we get into it, we want to play some music from a couple of these bands on here that you know, that Brian's familiar with and that some people listening might be familiar with. Before we do that, I like how you gave a pretty good description of what that name of that band kind of meant in a definition style.
Oh, Synecrosis.
Yeah, because Brian and I appreciate that. And so, like, there's been other episodes where we've covered some bands, and Brian's like, you know, that name's unique. So I looked into it, and, you know, it actually means, and, you know, and then we like to try and find the little details about the bands and their names and their backgrounds and stuff like that. So
cool.
That
was cool. Hot tip, if you want your band name spelled wrong on a lot of flyers, then come up with an obscure medical term.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody calling it something different, like slightly
yeah.
But one other thing I just wanted to do real quick before we get into the music, and it's something Brian and I have done. But do you remember what got you into music, and specifically punk music?
Oh yeah, I mean that's my sister without question.
Okay.
So that's the short version. But she, just to give you the Cliff Notes version, I mean she's 6 years older than me. So you know when she was kind of like 19, 20, and I was 13, 14. She was just getting into the local scene, which is, you know, it's Chicago, so there's a lot going on, especially in the 90s, you know, with, like, mm-hmm. Screeching Weasel and Sludgeworth and all that kind of good stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. She just fell into it, and then, of course, we weren't, you know, like, super close brother and sister because we're 6 years apart, but, you know, I just remember her one day playing music in her bedroom, and I was like, this is intriguing. I always kind of listened to whatever she did. I remember it was Operation Ivy. So I'm like, nice. This is cool, yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just snowballed from there. And then she was, fortunately very supportive and like managed to take me to a couple of shows, you know, when I was like 13 or 14. So I got to see a couple of cool ones, and she just, you know, kind of set the pace and I followed in her wake.
Nice. Cool. Well, yeah.
Awesome.
That's my story is kind of similar. Recovered before, you know, my cousin who's like 7 years older than me, kind of the same thing, got me into it. And that's just always something cool that you can, you know, and that's what we're kind of hoping to do with this show is share music, and hopefully somebody hears it or they share an episode or something like that. Somebody has that moment that you had hearing Operation Ivy for the first time, you know, and it kind of just draws in. So, that's cool.
Cool.
Thanks for giving us all those details about you and
and
sharing some stuff with us and the listeners. So I guess now with the clock ticking, Brian, let's get into some of the bands you wanted to pull. And again, Dave, you and Brian probably have a little bit more knowledge about some of these bands just because you guys were, you know, both from that. I grew up in Northwest Indiana.
Okay.
And so...
close enough.
Yeah, a little younger. Mm-hmm. But so like around the time you guys were at shows, I was probably still a little too young to venture over the state border and go to some shows. So, so if you got any stories and stuff, you know, with some of these bands, you know, you and Brian can share those.
Cool.
Definitely want to hear those as well. And we'll play some cool songs for people to check out too. So Brian, who do you got on the list? So we opened up the show with, Blue Meanies.
Yep.
And that song was?
That song was Grandma Shampoo.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so Blue Meanies are one of those region bands from Illinois, right?
Yeah, they're from Carbondale, I believe, originally.
Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. They started around 89, kind of broke up and kind of reunited for shows here and there since about 2001 or so. They played more recently around 2004, 2006 with not even
recently.
Yeah, right. The most recent shows. They played with the Tossers at the Double Door and Riot Fest. Naked Ray Gun and the Bull Weevils. And then I think they're doing 2014. They did Riot Fest again, possibly.
I never saw them doing any of their reunion shows for whatever reason. I just like completely missed the boat on that Double Door show. I don't know.
I think I heard about it and I was like, oh, that's cool. Hopefully they'll keep doing stuff. And yeah.
Then they didn't.
No.
Yeah, that's like, you know, one of like the kind of most perfect examples of bands from that era where it's like, at the time, I mean, I saw them a million times back in the day.
You know?
And you would never think that in 20 years, like, the Blue Meanies albums would just be out of print and unavailable. Like.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, you know, I don't know.
And they had a few albums, right?
Oh, they did, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
they got to the point
three.
Where, I remember when Hot Topic kind of started getting popular and their albums were all over the shelves there. I was like, whoa.
Did you ever see the letter that they wrote after they got signed to a major label and then dropped?
No.
Did you ever see that? You can actually look it up online somewhat recently for some reason. But their last album, The Post Wave, came out on like Geffen or something. And they, you know, just got kind of picked up in like that, you know, early aughts, you know, I don't know, Warp Tour kind of signing whirlwind, you know. And got all this money as an advance, and then, like, their A&R guy left, and then the label just kind of forgot about them and dropped them, and they didn't have to pay any of the money back, so they were able to buy, like, all this new gear and a van and stuff. It's pretty funny. You should just look up, like,
to look that up for sure.
Letter, yeah. They, I always felt that they were, you know, kind of unfairly lumped in that ska punk thing, you know?
Yeah, they got a little more hardcore. Some of their, like the Full Throttle album was a little more powerful.
That album is awesome.
Yeah,
and just very
amazing.
Weird, you know, kind of like a free jazz element or something.
Right, yeah. I think that's kind of how they started, too. I think they were kind of all into jazz music and all that.
Okay.
A few of them, anyway. But yeah, we should probably play one of their songs here, since we played Grandma Shampoo to open, and I wanted to play Send Help. It was off of another album that you had on here.
Okay.
I believe it was the Urine Trouble. Urine.
Oh, yes. That's a live 7-inch.
Cool.
Was that, yeah, live from their 1995. That was an EP that they did. But
cool. All right. Well, yeah, let's, if you got it queued up, Brian, let's take a listen to Send Help.
All right. Let's check it out. Straight to kids. right. So that was Blue Meanies with Send Help off their 1995 EP, You're in Trouble.
Yep. And we're and if you're just joining in, we're talking with Dave Hoffer. He's put together a really cool project, DuPage County Hardcore. It's a Bandcamp playlist page that you can visit, dupagecountyhardcore.bandcamp.com. We'll have a link on our Facebook page. And there is right around 500 albums, playlists that Dave's been kind enough to share with the world. So,
yes, it's awesome. Thank you for putting this together.
You're welcome.
A lot of bands here that I haven't seen in years.
Yeah, and
that's the idea, you know.
Yeah,
and so another band, Brian, that you have on the list to play today. We've had two Blue Meanies songs so far on the show, and I know we got a couple other bands we want to take a listen to that some listeners might be familiar with. That if you're not, you got the place to check them out.
Yep.
So, who's another band you got, Brian?
One of the demos that you had on here that caught my attention the most was the Fall Out Boy demo.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't hear that one very often. It's a pretty rough. But yeah, if anybody.
I mean, it's early. You know.
Yeah, very early.
That one, actually, there's been a good handful of friends of mine that also, you know, punks are just kind of like collectors, sort of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just have friends that, like me, just sort of save their friends' stuff over the years and have been generous enough to lend me things so I can include them, and then, you know, they go back to where they came from.
Yep.
Yeah, and those Fall Out Boy releases were just, you know, because they're from the Northwest suburbs, so a friend of mine that just grew up with those guys still had them, and I said, you know, if anybody ever got mad about this, it would actually probably be pretty easy to just get Pete Wentz's phone number and be like, dude, call off the dogs on this one, you know? So nobody's cared so far, so yeah. That's good. I'm glad you found it on there.
Yeah, they hit, I think those were on YouTube as well, so I don't know if that was you doing that, but there's some other people that were kind of raising.
That's cool. I do kind of, I mean, I don't know what they're like on YouTube, but I don't know, it's changed over the years, like my methods and just my know-how and everything, so it's like I feel the quality of the rips has gotten better and better over the years, and that's
sure.
Something I kind of like pride myself on too. When you download stuff, if there's artwork or inserts, I scan all that stuff, so when you open the zip file, it'll have like the entire CD booklet and all that, you know. And there's been some pretty fun things, too, like the Octung Chicago comps all came with, like, kind of these oversized newsprint booklets. And when I was working at the Field Museum, which is, like, the Natural History Museum in Chicago, in their library, they have a big book scanner, so they were letting me use that. It's like an overhead scanner, so I could scan, like, images that wouldn't fit on my, you know, like, just a flatbed scanner at home.
Yeah.
So,
nice.
Cool.
Yeah, and you can't really do that stuff with YouTube, you know? So, unfortunately, those Fall Out Boy demos have just, like, a, you know, handwritten piece of paper in there. There's nothing really to look at.
Yeah, that's really cool to see, that, you know, that their kind of starts right there. And then, you know, now they're a pretty big name, and a lot of people know them. And
I mean, they went on to win Artist of the Year from Alternative Press in, what, 2014? And then Best Vocals in 2016?
Wow, okay. Yeah, so I mean, they're pretty big band out there. A lot of people listening to them nowadays, and now they can check out where they got their start. And Brian, you have a song off that demo that we want to play?
Yeah, let's play A Nice Myth.
Okay,
it's off that 2001 demo. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, here's some early Fall Out Boy, A Nice Myth, off their 2001 demo. So here we go.
Thank you.
So that was Fall Out Boy, and might sound a little different than what you're used to, and that's because it's off of their 2001 demo that you can find, again, on a Bandcamp page that our guest today has created. It's dupagecountyhardcore.bandcamp.com, and you'll find around 500 albums playlists on there, and one of them is Fall Out Boy with some of the really early stuff before they kind of got famous. So again, we're just kind of going over some of these bands and giving people a little taste of what the music scene was and is in that area. So we've had Blue Meanies, now we've had Fall Out Boy. Brian, you got another band we want to check out here?
Apocalypse Hoboken. Was that you're not a fan or?
Oh no, I love them. That okay. Was a
okay, good.
It was like a tasty,
a good oh, okay.
Have this Apocalypse Hoboken in my mouth.
Perfect. Mm. Nice. Yeah, that's it's a band that I used to see these guys often, that off the alley scene, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
If you're into that. They were a few times, and I think I seen them at the Fireside a few times. But yeah, they've been around. They were around from like late 80s, early 90s or so.
Yeah, they were another band that, you know, like kind of had a like they switched lead singers at least once. You know, and kind of like if you listen to some of their super early stuff, you know, it kind of sounds like a different band, but it's also different time period and, you know, influences and everything. But they are like, they're another one kind of like the Blue Meanies, where you would have thought, you know, you never would have thought 20 years ago that the Apocalypse Hoboken stuff would kind of just be like lost to time.
Right.
Thankfully, they're into the band camp, or at least Todd is. He doesn't care. Nobody else has said anything. That's kind of like the whole pretense of the page, is that hoping nobody cares, you know.
So, Brian, you got some details about Apocalypse Hoboken?
Yeah. They were. Sorry, one second. You caught me off guard there.
So they're from Chicago.
Yeah, they're from Chicago, and they were formed in 87 and began playing shows and kind of getting their feet on the ground there around 89. The band released several albums and EPs and appeared on a number of compilations throughout the 90s, but at the end of the decade, the band kind of fell apart, and they...
that happens.
Yeah. Some of the members kind of split, and so about 2001, they kind of ended things. But, yeah, I don't know if you... Do you talk to these guys at all, or are you...
like? No, I mean, okay. I know Todd a little bit, just because he would come into Reckless, you know, and
gotcha.
Sort of, okay. Like, around, you know. They're a little bit older than me, but I saw them all, like, a million times. In fact, I think the first 7-inch I ever bought with my own money was the Apocalypse Hoboken Strikes Back 7-inch, which is up
nice.
On the page. Yeah. And they, you know, they're just one of those bands that was just so unique, you know, even within, like, the kind of punk, quote-unquote, you know, constraints. They just had a little something extra. Todd, especially, is, like, a lyricist and a vocalist, so unique. I think that really, like, set them apart. Yeah, and they just had, like, a string of classic 7-inches, and their first album especially is really good, that Easy Instructions for Complex Machinery, which is not on my page, unfortunately, because I've just been kind of working through my 7-inches and tapes and stuff and really haven't gotten to any of the full length, so maybe someday.
Yeah. Well, these, like you said, Dave, these guys are a little older than me as well, so I'm not very familiar with them, but... anxious to hear him, Brian. So what song do you got that we're going to listen to?
We're going to listen to one off the MicroStars album from 99 on Kung Fu Records. This is Little Fingers.
Okay, let's hear it.
I want my tunnel vision. I
right. That was Apocalypse Hoboken with Little Fingers off of their 1999 album, Microstars.
And if you want to hear more about that, we got our guest, Dave Hoffer. He's created DuPageCountyHardcore.bandcamp.com, and you can check them out and a ton of other artists. Really cool from the local scene, and some bigger names you might recognize, some smaller names that, maybe didn't really make it more than an album or two. So, but they're all good the same, and some good tunes to listen to. And so we're just trying to check out a few of those right now on the show, and we got time for a few more, Brian. So let's move right on to the next band.
Yeah, one of the bands that I was most excited to see on your list here was probably the Meshuggahnas.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I used to, every time chance I could get, go see those guys play. I remember seeing them play at Record Swap and just in the middle of the store. They had like their amps turned up to 11 and they were just, they were just screaming in the middle of the store. I think he had a ski mask on.
Well, they're definitely rabble rousers, those Meshuggahnas. They lived up to their name, you know.
That's cool. I got like the image of, like there's something going around on social media where it's like the band, hardcore band playing like in a Waffle House somewhere.
Yeah.
jumping over.
Well, they're always just kind of like, they're very antagonistic, you know? And people would just take it too seriously, of course, which then makes it even funnier, you know? I don't know what you're going to play, but I have maintained for years that their Dropout Girl 7-inch is like one of, if not the best Chicago punk 7-inch. It's just like completely perfect for anybody listening out there.
I had grabbed a song off of their I Eat Geeks Like You for Breakfast EP.
That's a good one too.
Yeah.
And an awesome EP title, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Always fun. It's got a little bit of like the Queers or something kind of vibe to it, you know.
For sure.
So it's off that album. What song is it, Brian?
We are playing Spoonfed off of their 1994 EP titled I Eat Geeks Like You for Breakfast.
All right, cool. Well, let's cue that up and take a listen to the Meshuggahnas with Spoonfed.
All right.
That was the Meshuggahnas with Spoonfed, and again, we're talking with Dave Hoffer, who's put together a really awesome project just kind of in his spare time, and it's DuPageCountyHardcore.bandcamp.com. You can find a ton of tracks on there from some really awesome local artists, some who've made it farther than others, but some really great music on there, and Dave's continuously adding to it, so keep checking on that. We'll put a link on our Facebook page. But guys, let's go on to another band. Who else you got to play, Brian?
I was gonna say, let's see, how about the Bullweevils?
Okay, nice. We played them on the show, I think, a few times, and so Dave, they're on your project here, and they're a Chicago punk band that, you know, started in like the late '80s. So have you got, Dave, you got any ties to them? Brian, have you seen them? I know you've
probably I've seen them a few times, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those guys were kind of like on the more important end of things for me during my formative years. One reason for that is because I found them just to be like very encouraging, which could have been partially just from my point of view, because there was a band from where I grew up called the Undesirables, and you know, they kind of had their shit together. They put out some stuff on Quincy Shanks and did a little touring and this and that, and I don't know exactly how, but they kind of got tight with the Boll Weevils. The Boll Weevils kind of like took them under their wing a little bit, you know. They would like have the guitarist from the Undesirables come up on stage and play Rat Patrol with them, you know, just little things like that, or like wear their t-shirts, you know. That's and that awesome. Was such a huge deal. It was so, yeah, I always love the Boll Weevils. Plus, if you look at the inside of their first album, Stick Your Neck Out, there's like a black and white drawing of them, like a kind of like a cartoon drawing, and my sister drew that.
Oh, nice.
And gave it to him at a show, and then they ended up using it on the album, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is, that's really awesome. Like all the kind of, we talk about that on the show a lot of times too, how some of these bands, they start and, you know, and they were tied to this other band from the area, who, you know, with members from this other band from the area, and then they worked with this band, and they, you know, collaborated with these people, and so it's always just kind of a cool network of, you know, punks and musicians that come together and help each other out, and just, you know, that really helped the genre grow and attract new people ultimately. So just really cool stories all the time, and like I said, we've played the Boll Weevils on the show a few times, Brian, but what song do you got today?
Let's go with Sundown off of their 1993 Ripple EP.
Okay. Cool. Well, we got that queued up?
Yep.
All right. Well, let's go. Let's hear it. The Boll Weevils, and the song was
Sundown off of their 1993 EP Ripple.
Okay. And you can obviously look up the Boll Weevils, hear some more of their music. One place you can do that would be at DuPageCountyHardcore.bandcamp.com. Really awesome resource created by our guest Dave Hoffer, and it's just got a ton of artists on there, so make sure you go check it out. We're trying to run through a couple of these awesome bands on the show right now, and so
will say real quick, if I may, about the Boll Weevils, that was one where their stuff is on my page, but if you look at it, you'll notice it's not available to download. You can just stream it, because they actually have a legit Bandcamp page.
Gotcha. Oh,
okay. So I reached out to them being like, hey, I would love to include these records just because it's fun to have all the original artwork up there for the 7 inches and stuff, you know? And yeah, and they were fine with that. I just said it so nobody can download them or like pay me money for them or anything. There's just a link in there saying,
yeah, gotcha.
If you want this stuff, you can go and get like their singles collection at their legit Bandcamp and blah, blah. I did that with a couple of things, you know, because some things have actually come out legit. Yeah, like the Ambition Mission stuff, the Bullweevil stuff. There's a few things up there where, you know, it's just available legitimately somewhere else. So I just put a link in there and everybody's been happy with that solution. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, always got to give credit where credit's due. And,
yeah, you know, it's the Bullweevils. I'm not going to try to, like, you know, sneak around on them or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, well, guys, we've covered some good bands. I think we got time for one more, Brian, that we can we could play another song and
no pressure of the grand finale.
Yeah. So we'll play out with this song. But Dave, again, thanks for coming on the show. We'll have to check in with you down the line. You know, keep it on like a regular kind of thing to check in with you and see what you've added and
yeah,
other stories that pop up. Again, you can check out DuPageCountyHardcore.bandcamp.com and listen to all the artists on there, download most of the music, share it with your friends, all that kind of stuff. We'll put some links on our Facebook page, so be sure to find us on Facebook at Midwest Punks Podcast. And yeah, Dave, we'll make it a regular thing to check in with you, so appreciate
cool.
you coming on.
Yeah, and, I just want to emphasize that everything up there is free to download, that is available to download.
Yeah, and that that Dave's generously donated his time to, you know, do this and put it together.
Yep.
So you're not
That's
in it
cool.
to do anything. You know, just like you said, kind of the collector, you know, punks being collectors and stuff too. I know.
Yeah,
I got,
you know, there's always like that kind of archival thing with punks. Like, how many photographers do you ever see at a punk show? Like, you know, there's like one for every 10 people in the crowd.
Sure.
Or something, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It just kind of comes from that sort of mentality, you know. But yeah, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to play out with one last song. Who do we got to play out with, Brian?
I was going to go Pegboy.
Pegboy. Okay,
yep.
So they just had a 30th year anniversary tour. It was like a drive-in show, I think. We had talked about it.
Yeah, we didn't make it to it. But
no, I wasn't going to risk going out right now. But but yeah.
Unfortunately.
So, yeah, I know, exactly, because there were some other cool bands on that too. So they've been around. They play their 30th year anniversary, but they're a Chicago band, right?
Yeah, they're a Chicago band. They've been around since 1990. They were, John Haggerty was the ex-guitarist for Naked Ray Gun, one of my favorite bands of all time. And they did this. Is this a demo or what was this? How did this get together? This album that they have on there was just it was a split. That's what it was.
Capone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something where I just had that in my collection and looked, and the Pegboy stuff just isn't those tracks or that track or whatever just isn't available anywhere. So
yeah it's
there it is.
Yeah, it's a good one for sure. I mean, I think it might be buried on other albums, but it's yeah, the split with Capone. I don't know, I haven't heard those guys in forever, so it's kind of cool. But yeah, so we want to play this, and we're going to play out with this?
Yep, so we're playing out with Pegboy. What song are we playing with?
Danger Mare.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you can check this song out and a ton of others on DuPageCountyHardcore.bandcamp.com. Follow us on Facebook at Midwest Punks Podcast to get a quick link to that Bandcamp page. And again, thanks, Dave, for coming on the show. And Brian, thanks for coming in. And
yeah.
Got another show under our belt now. So
right. Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right,
thanks, Dave. We'll talk to you again. Hopefully, get some more info.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's hear some Pegboy.
All right. Here we go. Take care.
I'm done. dog.